And you're listening to Browns. I'm sorry, you're listening to Bicycle Radio. This is Chris Brown. It's 1:33 on the 19th of March.
Get up, roll up, going up in the world, going round, yeah, round, going round of the world, getting by, I'm fly, that's a moving so fast, I never stop, cause I'm having a blast, I never slow down, duck it, duck it, down, down. Getting high, getting low, oh, as good as a drug. I got a great, great feeling, I'm as snug as a bug. I got no class, no glass ceiling to break. I never stop, cause I'm on the make. I never slow down.
Imelda May. I love her. I got a new CD this week, can you tell?
She's awesome.
She's awesome. Have you heard her before?
I have.
Every single time we do a radio show. You know how you get into a... You listen to one CD every day for like 6 months, and then you never see it again. It's funny. Anyway, welcome to Bicycle Radio. My name's Chris Brown and Christina Kittleson.
Hello.
Thank you. And it is March, and the sun is out, and we're ready for another spring in Grand Junction of riding our bikes and doing crazy bike things.
I am so ready.
So ready. It was a hard winter. That January was a cooker.
I'm not ready for the wind, but...
Yep. A couple days ago, that was tough too. And we have a special guest today, Lisa Eckert from the Monument. She's president of the Monument.
Superintendent.
As my kids would say, when you're four, everybody that's in charge is president.
I like that.
Welcome, and we're glad that you're here.
Thanks for the invite.
And we're going to chew on your ear and listen to you speak today and just kind of play around. So that's good. And feel free to chime in anytime. We're going to do some bicycle events and stuff too. So if anything that comes to your mind.
All right.
Do you have a bike?
I do.
What is it? It's red with circles underneath it.
It's blue. It's from 1989 or so. Bridgestone.
Bridgestone.
Yes. Beautiful. Do they bike. Make them anymore?
They don't. They kind of went out of business in the late 80s, but they're all classics. And the guy that designed all those bikes is still flipping around California and doing weird things. He wrote a funny book. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, actually.
Okay. Lisa was telling us it's been traveling with her from assignment to assignment, so I'm sure it's seen some pretty awesome, beautiful places.
It has.
It's found a good home.
It goes where she goes. That's the perfect thing about a bike, is that you can take it with you. So, good. Bicycle Times Radio Show is a monthly community radio show about the different aspects of cycling in Grand Junction. Grand Junction has long been a cycling mecca for road and mountain bikes. For many, many years, but now offers cycling culture in the form of history, art, community, utility, and so the social aspects of cycling. And KAFM is proud to introduce Bicycle Radio. Change it up. Sounds good. Current events, what's coming up? What's going on? My calendar is crazy full.
So is mine.
It starts like April 18th, and then every day after April 18th for the rest of the year, there's a bike event going on in Grand Junction.
My calendar has already started.
Oh, yeah.
We had our season kickoff party last Thursday at Copper Club Brewing Company in Fruita. And we actually have two events tonight. We have a single track and Skinny Tire Sisters race team meeting for those interested in either racing or providing support for races. It's at 5:45 at Canna Creek, and Jennifer Sliney is the contact person for that. And there's no racing experience necessary. And also tonight,
I'm sorry, was that road or mountain or both?
Both.
Oh wow.
Both. And it's a new thing. We've never done a race team before, so it's the first meeting to kind of figure out what that's going to look like for the group.
Super cool. Can I interject while you're interjecting?
Sure.
They're doing that epic rides downtown this summer. So yeah. Mountain bike racing 3 days on Main Street, and then up to the Lunch Loop.
The end of the summer.
Yeah, yep. We threw the gauntlet down, challenging all of the other shops in town.
Oh, I saw this.
Shop owner versus shop owner. And the loser has to wear the other shop's jersey for a whole day in his own store.
Oh, I love it.
So it's fun. We have not yet got feedback, you losers, you cowards. So
step
feel
up,
free
step
to call
up.
Us. Yeah.
Although on my Single Track Sisters Facebook page, we've been having some discussion about the fee for the race itself.
$100.
$100.
And then there's a convenience fee of $8, and they squeezed another $10 in there too.
Which is a contribution for a charity, but I didn't see exactly who that was yet. So we do support that.
Sounds like there's an inconvenience fee in there, if you ask me.
But it's kind of pricey.
$118 to ride a public trail and get a t-shirt. And I paid it.
Good for you. Well, it's good. And the other thing happening tonight is our second bicycle fit clinic at the Bicycle Studio. We did road bike fit already tonight. We're doing a mountain bike fit with John Wyrith at 6 p.m. So tons of stuff going on. And our first weekly women's mountain bike ride is this Thursday, 5:30 at Cocopelli.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you guys do something this weekend? There were all kinds of tables. It looked like a potluck going on out at the Lunch Loop again.
No.
Whenever there's a potluck, I know that you guys are involved
think
in
of
it.
The sisters. No, that wasn't us.
That was
that was the LTR development team group.
The Devo team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Rocky Mountain Cycles was out there with the demo bikes, and my husband and I actually went out and demoed some Rocky Mountains, and the nice. LTR team was out there. And
Grassroots had their van out there, too, I noticed, mm-hmm. and maybe they're just jumping, but
yeah,
good. That was your plug. That was your plug for
I
the
have
week.
More if you want me to keep going.
Oh, let me throw these at and tell me if
I
overlap.
Some other stuff.
In April, Game On, Rumble at 18 Road, followed by the Fruta Tap Fat Tire Festival, followed by the 18 Hours of Fruta, followed by the Rose Hill Rally. This is every weekend.
Oh, in
every
April.
Other weekend. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then the Mog Fest. Did you mention that?
I didn't hit April 23rd. Yeah, Mog Festival. The La Roica historic ride up to Glenwood Springs happens May 18th. Mog Fest happens on the 23rd downtown behind Rock Slide. And then they have to get out of there by 2 o'clock so that by 3 o'clock, Mesa State can have their criterium on the pavement mm-hmm. on Main Street. And that starts about 3. And that's there are citizens class open. So if you're Joe Schmuck, you can ride that thing and probably not have to pay $100. And then they'll race till 10:30 at night and they're actually going to light it up. So
that'll be cool.
Yeah, night races downtown. That's pretty neat. Did you have anything else?
One other thing. Okay. Julia is leading a no drop road ride this Saturday, 10 a.m. at a meeting at Eagle Rim Park. And just anytime, Lisa, you want to come ride with the girls, you're more than welcome, no matter how old your road bike is.
And no drop. No drop means exactly what?
No drop means nobody's left behind. All skill levels are welcome, but they ride together as a group versus other rides that you just go out and you can either hang on or not.
Is that something that came out of the Bush administration? No rider left behind?
Hi.
Probably
no
not.
No connection.
Yeah, you got to be careful on community radio. Good. Let's talk to Lisa Eckert. We're here. Where are you from? What did you do? Give me your bio in 3 minutes or less.
I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin. I rode my bike to school almost every day or walked through the woods.
Nice.
Yeah. Enjoyed growing up near lakes and probably got that environmental ethic at that point. But the West lured me and I went out to Yellowstone and started waiting tables. And then from there, onto the National Park Service.
Nice.
So I have about 30 years in now, and I've worked in 12 different park areas in all 7 regions.
Holy smokes.
In our national park system.
Where'd you come from before you were here?
I was at Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon. And a national park is different than a national monument, right? Or is it?
We're managed the same.
Okay.
But there's actually like 20 different last names in different national park units is one way to look at it. And for instance, a national monument, presidential proclamation, national park, act of Congress.
That's how it gets in. Are you guys all blinking at the same time? Or is the power going out in this radio station? The lights are flickering.
They're doing construction here.
Oh, is that what's going on? I thought I was blacking out again.
Oh, maybe it's right in this room.
There you go. So presidential, that's how it got called, a national monument. And so not a national park, but it's run by the Park Service. Is that
right?
Correct?
National Park Service was established in 1916. So we're about to have our centennial in 2016.
Oh, look at you go. And you have to wear the same funny hats, right?
We do.
What?
You know, of interest, though, Colorado National Monument was established before the National Park System or the service. And so we were established in 1911. I'm sure a lot of you went to the centennial events
yes.
a couple years ago.
We did.
They were doing that. It seemed like it was cold. It was New Year's Eve or whatever. The hat. Tell me about the hat. What does the hat do?
The hat is part of that tradition.
It's part of the tradition.
Army hat. National park. First national park in the world was Yellowstone. And the Army were the first ranger, so to speak, the Army personnel. And it's their hat.
Interesting.
Because
it's
always
modeled after their hat.
It's branded, I think,
in my mind. It is. It's not a sombrero. It's not a cowboy hat.
It is a brand, isn't it?
It's a brand unto itself. It's the one that Smokey wears.
It is, which is the National Forest Service. It is.
And you were telling us before we started that you've been with the Colorado National Monument now for almost just a year.
It has been a year for this time around. This is my third time here. So I've been here twice before as a park ranger, so I feel like I have this 29-year snapshot of this park unit and the community.
There you go. Well, welcome to the community and welcome back. And I'm sure everybody will embrace you in one way or another over the next year or two. And
it has happened.
That's good.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your work stuff. You are in the world's hottest hot seat and in your position in that every time you make a decision, you make half the people happy and you make half the people mad. And it's rough, I would assume. And I know the weather guys in town all live in Mesa or 100 miles away. They drive in. So I'd guess you did the same thing because everybody's got opinions on how you're doing your job and things like that. If you could define success with the community and from the National Park Service, how do you give me your best guess at balancing that thing out?
It is a balancing act. Success for me, having 30 years in the National Park Service, and also it's really been my life because when I travel, that's where I go, national parks around the world. But success for me is seeing that the mission is fulfilled so that our resources are protected and visitors are served, and this happens into perpetuity.
Mm-hmm. Into perpetuity?
Future generations.
There you go.
Yeah.
Getting dropped into perpetuity.
I like that word.
Yeah,
I do too.
Yeah, so that's success.
That's success.
Success, though, would also be... trying to find that common ground, seeking understanding, and vice versa. And I think that would go a long ways for some of those 50-50 situations you described earlier.
Yep, there it is. Are parks and national monuments, are they changing how they get used in this country?
Well, if you imagine the first national park was established in 1872 before the automobile, definitely there's increased demands as there's been increased technology and people and visitors. One way, though, that the National Park Service, I think, has evolved with societal needs is just that difference in the last name of a national park unit. So first national parks were these scenic landscapes, vastness. And then it's evolved 100 years later after Yellowstone. We have national recreation areas, bring parks to people and to urban areas. Hmm. So I do believe National Park Service and the federal government are trying to adapt.
Like in Boston, the walking tour, if you go look at the Liberty Bell and stuff, that's a national park. And the Wright Brothers Museum in Dayton is a national park, even though it's in the middle of a town.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's actually a building.
Exactly.
There's no grass. There's
we
no
have 398 deer. Different units. In the national park system, and some of them are exactly as you describe.
Yep. When you go on vacation, what do you do? I got to know. Oh. Do you go to the city and just like run after cars and stuff?
I usually backpack and hike.
Really?
But one of my stints of my 12 parks was Gateway National Recreation Area in New York City.
Oh, wow.
So I would take the subway in and go to Chinatown or do some of those cultural events as well.
Good. I always wonder what DJs listen to when they go home and turn on the radio too.
I think what I've heard in just in terms of usage of the national park system is that the numbers are down in general is the perspective that I get, that people aren't visiting them as much. But that's not my reality for the Colorado National Monument. I don't see that the usage. I think it's increasing. Is that the case? Do you know?
It has been increasing. And I think nationwide, numbers aren't my thing usually, but I think there's been more usage and more increase as well. Oh. There was a recent study issued by Michigan State University about the economic engines of having national park units near communities. And that study showed here for Colorado National Monument, we contribute $23 million to the community.
That's awesome.
By having here.
Just by having the orange backdrop here.
Yep.
Yeah.
The big debate, obviously, is to turn the National Monument into a national park. And I, to be honest with you, I haven't kept up with that. Are you involved with that situation at all? Or
I have been apprised of that situation. Yeah, it's been really exciting to follow. Proponents are, well, they're probably the best way to sum it up is there is a Grand Valley Citizens Committee right now,
right.
And they have a Facebook page now and a web page. And by visiting there to find kind of the latest information or have questions answered.
Right. The hat's not going to change and the boots aren't going to change. The sign may change in the front.
Right. Uniform's the same. My job as a superintendent, I would make the same decisions and manage the same.
So we get, you know, we'd be on registers and on in the little booklet, you know, maybe different for the guidebooks and things like that, which may or may not bring more people in to see this thing.
According to the Convention and Visitor Bureau, they feel it may increase tourism because of having that label National Park.
Exactly.
There are a lot of people that do think that. There are now 59 national parks.
Yeah.
59th was Pinnacles National Monument in California. Mm-hmm. And so there may be a bit of a campaign starting with bumper stickers about being number 60. I've seen a few at a meeting last night.
Do you guys want more people in the monument? Is that?
We welcome all visitors to the National Monument.
Beautiful answer.
Isn't that great?
That's great. Harry
we want everybody to have a safe visit. Absolutely.
My downtown director down there, he said, you know, a national park within 2 miles of a main street, almost unheard of. It's a huge asset for Grand Junction. It's a huge asset for Main Street, which is where I am, for downtown. And so we're like, oh, yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah.
Well, do you rent bikes for visitors, for instance?
I do. Mm-hmm. A few of them use their road bikes up the monument. Most of them do the mountain bikey kind of stuff, too.
Okay.
I think if you knew that, you might shut that down, though, because we're not allowed to use it for commercial purposes or something. But I took my van up there once with some rental people and got shut down and turned away.
Well, it's interesting in this community, from my perspective, it seems like there's way more of mountain bike rental focus than road bike rentals.
Right. Yeah. Most
shops don't even do road bikes, which is surprising to me considering we have such fabulous road riding. So.
Yep. Cycling in the monument. Let's get to the hot topics, which is something everybody wants to know.
Safety.
Is that it? You're going to steer this thing.
Wear the helmets. Have your lights on in the tunnels.
There's no guardrails. It's like a 400-foot drop. Who cares about a helmet? What does it mean? Lights in the tunnels. You have to have lights when you go up there.
Right.
And I think you even have a couple at the guard booths if you forget yours for that day or something.
I thought that was brilliant.
Thank you.
I didn't know that.
Do you know who did that?
Was it you?
It was me.
Well, congratulations.
We donated them like 5 years ago and they're still using them. So.
Oh, I saw that. I've had so many wonderful first impressions as I've come back now for the third time. That was one of them. I was behind a bicyclist exiting and they're handing off their lights back to the ranger at the entrance station. And I thought, what's this all about? And then they told me. So
and
congratulations.
And now
that's wonderful.
Everybody in Radio
Land. Did you know that? No, I did not know that.
Everybody in Radio Land is like, oh, I can go get free lights and just roll on through and take them home.
So. I mean, for example, I just got a replacement road bike frame and forgot to transfer the lights over. And I was, you know, on my way to the monument and I was like, oh, I got to go back and get those. So sometimes you forget.
Every couple of years, the word comes out via who knows how, but that they're thinking about shutting off cycling to the monument altogether as far as road riding in it. And then we all go crazy and grab pitchforks and torches and stuff and then stomp up and down. And then it's sort of that rumor goes away or something like that. What is that?
I haven't heard that rumor. I've ridden bikes for my 29 years there.
Forever.
Recreational biking.
That happened about 3 years ago. And then it turned out it was just a suggestion in a board meeting and then it got blown up or something like that.
Yeah, be wary.
So you got to be careful with that.
Rumors out of board meetings. But no, a person on a bicycle is a recreational visitor, similar to if that person's in a four-wheeled vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Share the Road campaign and recreational bicyclists are very much welcome. Where possibly, I think a great discussion will come out of that would be if we're kind of doing an inception of a visitor activity plan, it's more to look at different activities on the road under special park uses. But I think some of those topics that'll come up are mixed uses or, you know, safety on the road.
Right. Yeah. There was a big hubbub about the USA Pro Challenge going over the monument and they can't and you're not and we're not. That's not going to happen. I assume you've been involved in some of those over the last, it was probably more of a Joan thing in the last few years, but you're getting into that mix now. But and then the tour of the moon, you know, comes through, and the community's a little confused on those. Why are those events different?
I can understand the confusion.
Because one's commercial for profit and the other one's commercial for profit. And one's 2,000 amateurs and one's 70 pro riders. And
With the race, if there was a race through a national park unit, or especially the geography of this park with the curvy roads, both lanes of traffic would need to be closed to ensure safety. Mm-hmm. For a recreational bicycle tour, the bicyclists stop at the overlooks and visit with park rangers that are interpreting what they're seeing, and the road is still open to vehicles.
So it becomes a safety and park closure.
It would be that's one primary difference.
Yeah.
I also see the confusion because in the 1980s there was the Coors Classic mm-hmm. professional yeah. race, and I believe the name of that even was Tour of the Moon, except now it's been bought out for this recreational.
Right. Mike Easton always owned that name, and so when he used to promote the Coors Classic, he used it, and now he's independent.
Now he's promoting this ride.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the history of that. So, yeah. There that is. So, this thing about developing, I know I heard that you guys were kind of doing get involved more with the community and better communication with the community at large and with the monument. And there was going to be kind of like a 7-month study on how we can kind of handshake a little bit more and have some more less spirited discussions and things like that. What is that?
It's a little delayed at the moment due to sequestration and all the other events that we've been working on, but we'll be jump-starting it again.
Okay.
And for me, that was a vision that I saw that would bring the community closer to the National Park Service and the National Park Service closer to the community.
Right.
And I looked at it as a holistic or programmatic way to view all sorts of activities that are being requested, and we only have one 23-mile road, and how to do that balance and what types of activities, for instance, would be appropriate, and hear from the community on that
mm-hmm.
and have a decision document in the form of an environmental assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And how, once that's able to take place, how would people be able to be involved with that?
We are in the process of hiring a third-party facilitator, and then once we have that, we would do public meetings.
Okay.
And
right.
then we would get the word out to my women's group that yes. we're having this, and we could come and share, you know, why we like to cycle on the monument and what we'd like yeah. to see with it.
Sounds like right. that kind of open table might diffuse some of the angst that this community has with that kind of stuff. So I like it. I like where you're going with that.
I would hope so. I mean, I think that's what I was thinking when I first moved back here, you know, how to solve. I love to be a solution seeker, and that was just an idea that had come forth that has been supported through our regional office and national office.
They used to do a bicycle rally here, and it was called a smoke bomb rally, and you take a pile of tires and you pour diesel fuel on them and light it, and then you had to ride from one smoke signal to the next. So if I wanted to have one of those up on the monument, could I fill out an application and submit that?
We get application requests for very interesting events.
I've never heard of that.
And then we go through our environmental screening form and make a decision.
Okay.
So I bet you can guess what that decision would be purpose of a national
they did it
monument.
They did it in the 80s and actually did this.
Did they?
So, yeah.
Well, one of the things I remember hearing too, and I wasn't involved with the Pro Cycling Challenge organizing group, that there was something particular in terms of races in all national parks and monuments. It wasn't just here. It was a national park
policy. Yeah.
Is that true, or is it kind of based up to each park to make that decision whether it would impact or not?
Well, we do refer to our 2006 management policies as well as our federal law, and superintendents do go through a matrix in making decisions.
Sounds good. Getting all the myths debunked today. I need to pay a bill real quick here. Underwriting of this show, the first Thursday of every month, KFM's Community Affairs Hours features Senior Matters, highlighting the issues, opportunities, and resources in our valley for seniors, family caregivers, and more. Senior Matters is underwritten by Hilltop Home Care, providing comprehensive and compassionate in-home care for over 26 years. A full list of services and more information is available at www.hilltophomecaregj.org or by calling, even easier, 208-1345. Hilltop Home Care, keeping you safe and independent in your home. And underwriting is also supported this hour by Hospice. Support from this program comes from Heirlooms for Hospice, a resale shop that supports the mission of Hospice and Palliative Care of Western Colorado. Heirlooms features gently worn clothing, home furnishings, fashion accessories, books, and more. Heirlooms is located on Main Street, downtown, and donations are always appreciated. Heirlooms for Hospice is a small price for a great cause. And we appreciate those guys supporting KAFM. It's about 3 minutes till one. We're here with Lisa Eckert from the Colorado National Monument, just chit-chatting it up and talking about some biking issues and things like that. Boom, boom, boom. I had some other ones for you.
Well, this I liked this question because I want to add to it. What is the wackiest thing you've ever seen in the monument?
I went to college here in 85, and there's all kinds of stuff going on the monument in the middle of the night.
Oh, you know, for wacky for me, it's unusual wildlife sightings because I'm such a naturalist. And I was hiking up Gold Star Canyon when I worked here before as a park ranger, and right in front of my feet and eyes, a bull snake yanked and grabbed a cottontail rabbit.
Wow.
And I got to watch the swallowing action, and I was just amazed. I have to dig out those photos. What's the wackiest thing you've seen?
Well, we were talking about that before. Yeah. For me, it was seeing a woman bicycling with a dog in a backpack.
There you go.
I wished I had seen that.
There you go. Do we have bald eagles on the monument?
We have golden eagles.
We have golden.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some bald eagles closer to the Colorado River.
On the riverfront, there's one.
Yes.
Down on the...
Yes.
Yep. I've seen that too. What's the best thing you like about this community since you've been here for 1 year?
I love the sense of place and space of all the places I've worked and lived, and definitely here.
That word now is, I don't know where it came from. I've heard it in the last 3 weeks, place. Everybody's using place differently than, it's like an adverb now or something. I don't know, but.
Sense of place.
Sense of place, meaning the community in which you stand and the people and the vibe and.
It's everything. You're right. It's the whole ecosystem, if I use my biological term.
There you go.
I love the diversity of the resources. I love Main Street. I love the people I've been meeting.
It's the land, the people, and the community, and how you connect to it.
Yep.
That was how I would define it.
I like that definition.
There you go. It's 1 o'clock. This is the end of Bicycle Radio. And Lisa Eckert, thank you for coming down and chit-chatting with us.
Thank you.
Setting us straight. And we appreciate your time, your energies. We look forward to everything that's going to happen in the next few years that you're here too.
I am so grateful to the invitation. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And if anybody wants to just go up there, I assume your office door is always open and they can just walk in and tell you whatever they're thinking and feeling anytime.
And of course.
Send an email. She'll get back to you. And Christine Kittleson, thank you.
Thank you
for hanging out as well, and we'll see you next month. Troy Rarick from Vintage Over the Edge Sports will be with us next week, and we'll have the bleeper so that we don't get arrested by the FCC. And we appreciate you guys listening, and we're going to clock out here with some more Imelda May, and we'll see you in a month.
Happy cycling.
She freaks and tells her closest friend that she never love again, but she never known I ever live without him. Wouldn't believe it if you seen it. She threw a diamond ring out the window of a black cab in Camden. He couldn't take what she did, so he threw a hissy fit, and he took it out, and anyone around him wouldn't believe it. Oh, oh, if you seen it. Got to run, 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 run.
victims of a night in a cell. Well, rape, pants, and bruises, 12